Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Robert Spencer, a returning guest. He is a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author on all kinds of books related to Islam. And here's an article he wrote recently called this, "Does Allah Really Command Muslims to Kill Non-Muslims?" Robert, welcome back to the program, and thanks so much for joining us.
Always great to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Oh, sure. And by the way, it's been a while since we've had a jihad update. So tell us what your latest book is and what the website is, and then we'll get right into this subject. Does Allah really command Muslims to kill non-Muslims?
Okay. Well, thanks, Jerry. The website is jihadwatch.org, jihadwatch.org. And it is a news and commentary website that gives you what is happening in the global jihad, what is happening in the United States regarding jihad activity, and what's happening around the world, and commentary to enable you to understand the motivating ideology behind jihad activity, which is all too often obscured. And my latest book is called The History of Jihad, From Muhammad to ISIS. It's the first book of its kind, the first book that gives a comprehensive history and overview of jihad from the 7th century up until now. Not just the jihad against Europe, which has been written about before, but also the jihad against India and in Africa and elsewhere. And that is available for pre-order now and will be out this summer.
Mm. And who's the publisher?
Bombardier Books.
Okay. You know, it's interesting you mentioned India, because somewhere I read, or maybe it was Dr. Bostom, or somebody was saying that the number of Hindus that were killed by the Muslims several centuries ago is just astonishing. I mean, we think about all those Christians that have been killed and are being killed and so forth, but when you look at what the Muslims did to the Hindus about three or four or five centuries ago in India, it is amazing.
Yes, it's about 80 million people. And it went on for several centuries, of course, but it's still a staggering number of people. And this is because the Muslims were harsher in India than they were in Europe and in the Middle East, because fighting against the Christians, they considered the Christians to be the so-called people of the book, which are people who have gotten what is considered in Islam to be a legitimate divine revelation, although then the Muslims claim that they've corrupted that revelation, and that's what they think of Christians and Christianity. But the Hindus are not considered people of the book. They do not have a legitimate divine revelation in Islam's view, and consequently, they do not get the choice to live as dhimmis, as the subjugated people under the rule of Islamic law, but they either have to convert or die. And even though the Muslim rulers early on granted the Hindus dhimmi status because they just couldn't kill them all. There were just too many of them. Still, they were harsher to the Hindus than they were to the Christians and to others, because they considered the Hindu temples to be places that were abominations, whereas the churches were, because they were the places of worship of the people of the book, not considered to be that bad. And so the thousands, tens of thousands of Hindu temples were demolished, whereas churches were often kept up or were kept as churches or actually were converted to mosques, whereas the Hindu temples were demolished wholesale and the Hindus treated quite harshly as a rule.
Wow. That is amazing. By the way, before we continue, I've got to ask you this. Since right now I'm in up to my armpits in doing lots of research on the whole subject of social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, and the suppression, the censorship of Christian and conservative content. I understand you've had some problems, and so also has Pamela Geller and perhaps David Horowitz, in terms of getting the message out, warning about, you know, jihad and Sharia and so forth on platforms of social media. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. Yeah, it's very serious. As a matter of fact, there is a concerted effort by all of them, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, all of them to deplatform or to choke out or to diminish the influence of anybody who dissents from the leftist agenda. And so when it comes to Facebook, for example, my website, Jihad Watch, for years it got about 20,000 referrals a day from Facebook. And in February 2017, one day, middle of February, that dropped to 2,000 a day and has never recovered. It stayed about there ever since. And Google, for example, for years, if you wrote in jihad, just the word jihad, not even Jihad Watch, but just jihad on Google, you would get my website, Jihad Watch, because Google used to work on the basis of how much the site was congruent with the thing that was searched and how popular the site was. So I had the most popular site about jihad activity, and it was the closest thing to jihad. So if people search for jihad, the first thing they would get was Jihad Watch. But then last year, an imam in Texas, Omar Suleiman, started to complain to Google that their results were Islamophobic, so-called, which means that they told truths that he wanted concealed. And so he actually prevailed upon Google to skewer their search results, so that now if you search for jihad, Jihad Watch doesn't come up for page after page after page on Google, and all you get is information or propaganda, I should say, about how Islam is a religion of peace and jihad is an interior spiritual struggle and all this deceptive nonsense. And it's the same thing for anything you search regarding Islam now. Google will only give you favorable results.
That is amazing.
Favorable, that is, to Islam.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I understand that there was an imam, another imam, that had a pamphlet basically saying, you know, it's not really true that Allah commands Muslims to kill non-Muslims. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, that was a Sound Vision pamphlet. Sound Vision is a very popular Islamic apologetic organization in the United States that distributes a lot of this material that is frankly deceptive. And it's designed to render non-Muslims ignorant and complacent regarding the jihad threat. And what they do is they set up a straw man. You know, they claim, they say, they characterize those whom they oppose as if they're saying something they don't really say, and then they knock it down. And so they say, does the Quran command Muslims to kill all the non-Muslims? Well, no, it doesn't, actually. And non-Muslims, those who are calling attention to the jihad threat, don't really say that. They say that the Quran commands people, Muslims, to kill non-Muslims or to subjugate the people of the book that we've already discussed under the rule of Islamic law. And this is something that is indeed an Islamic imperative and that has been carried out, as I show in the history of jihad, by Muslims throughout the history of Islam. So there's no real dispute about these issues for anybody who's informed. But presentations like this from Sound Vision are designed to manipulate people who are uninformed and to take advantage of their ignorance, to make them think that there is no real jihad threat when there actually is.
Well, what does the Quran actually say about this subject?
Well, it says, kill them wherever you find them. That's three times, chapter 2, verse 191, chapter 4, verse 89, and chapter 9, verse 5. And then in chapter 9, verse 29, it says, fight those who do not obey Allah and his messenger and do not forbid what he has forbidden, even if they are of the people of the book, until they pay the jizya, the tax, with willing submission, and feel themselves subdued. And that means that the Muslims must fight against the people of the book, that is primarily Jews and Christians, until they are subjugated under the rule of Islamic law, which means that as dhimmis, they are denied basic rights, they are made to submit to various humiliating and discriminatory regulations in order to be allowed to live in relative peace. But that their condition is always precarious and always based on the subservience to the Muslims and the acceptance of their inferior position vis-a-vis the Muslims. Now, these things are hardly teachings of peace and harmony. They involve a lot of killing and a lot of institutionalized persecution and harassment. And so for any Muslims to portray them as if this is some sort of a paragon of tolerance is spectacularly misleading. But that's the intention the groups like SoundVision. They want to mislead Americans and want to make sure that they don't really realize what is happening.
Okay, this recording is being made on May 30, 2018. And in any given week, just about, there's some sort of jihad attack around the world. There was recently a shooting in Belgium, I believe. And bottom line is there's some people just go out of their way. People in the West go out of their way to say this has nothing to do with Islam, even though, you know, maybe the person doing the shooting was saying Allahu Akbar, you know, before they started killing people. And help us to unpack that. You know, why does the former Prime Minister of England get up and say they're not Muslims, they're murderers? You know, why does he feel compelled to say that?
Tell you, Jerry, it seems to me that politicians in the West, and maybe in particular in Great Britain, the stakes are too high for them to admit the truth. Because if they were to come out and say, yes, there's a real jihad threat emanating from the Muslim community, and there is the threat of Islamic supremacism and the assertion of the special rights for Muslims that non-Muslims don't have, if they were to say all that, then the inevitable question from the public is going to be, well, then why did you favor mass Muslim migration for years and stigmatize everyone who opposed it as racist and bigoted? Why did you allow this to come into our countries when it's inevitably going to lead to strife as Muslims attempt to assert more and more aspects of Islamic law? And eventually non-Muslims say, no, we don't want to live under Islamic law. There's going to be conflict. Why have you brought this upon us? And so, you know, they can't admit the truth, because if they do, it will show how venal they have been for years and how they have betrayed their own nation. And so they continue to double down and triple down and quadruple down and pretend and assert that Islam is a religion of peace. They really don't have a choice if they want to continue to have a political career.
So when these various attacks happen from an individual Muslim here or, you know, a couple of Muslims there, and they are yelling out Allahu Akbar or whatever, what are they actually doing? Are they thinking that they're obeying the Quran by slaying the infidel wherever they find them, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. They think that they are, if they're suicide attackers, they think that they are gaining the Quran's promise of paradise to those who kill and are killed for Allah. And that's in chapter 9, verse 111. They believe that to kill, you understand, when the Quran says to kill them wherever you find them three times, a Muslim who does that thinks he's carrying out a holy act. It's like a Christian feeding the poor, or a Christian, praying. It's a righteous deed to do because Allah commands it.
Here's a quote from your article about, does Allah really command Muslims to kill non-Muslims? You'll have to tell me who is saying this and how could this be said, but here it is. The missing context of the accusations. Quote, Prophet Muhammad was a very peaceful man. He never hurt anyone, much less killed anyone. He lived simply consuming less and sharing more, despite being married to one of the richest persons in Mecca. God's peace and blessings be upon him. End quote. Who said that? And with this, we'll close. We have about 45 seconds left.
Golly, Jerry, I don't know who said that. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's a connection. What connection does this claim have to whether or not the Quran teaches violence? None. I believe it's in reference to the Sound Vision fellow, Abdul Malik Mujahid. No one are the winning. We
Abdul
can't pronounce their names.
He's a Saudi Islamic apologist, and he writes a lot of this nonsense. And see, this is the kind of thing that they do. They put up this red herring that really doesn't have anything to do with the topic. And you think, oh, what a nice guy Muhammad was. It really has nothing to do with the question of whether he said that Allah commanded Muslims to kill non-Muslims. But misleading, misdirection, diversion, distraction, these are all very, very established and frequently used tactics of Islamic apologists.
All right, Robert Spencer, thanks so much for joining us. Your website again is jihadwatch.org, and we look forward to seeing your new book. Thank you, Robert. Always a pleasure.
Oh, your pleasure is all mine, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.